The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has declared the NEG is dead, but perhaps someone's forgotten to tell the policy's chief architect, because yesterday, Kerry Schott, the chair of the Energy Security Board, told a conference in Sydney it's premature to declare the former Turnbull government's energy policy dead. She hasn't been told to stop work on the National Energy Guarantee, which was, of course, supposed to bring reliability, affordability and lower emissions to Australia's energy market. Now it's been reduced to one role, reliability. Energy Minister Angus Taylor told the same conference the government was working to ensure there's enough fair dinkum generation in the energy system to keep it reliable. Audrey Zibelman is the Chief Executive of the Australian Energy Market Operator, or AEMO, and she's also a member of the Energy Security Board that designed the NEG. Audrey Zibelman, welcome to breakfast.
Hi, how are you?
Kerry Schott joked yesterday she was going through the stages of grief in relation to the death of the NEG, and she was stuck at anger. And she also slammed the current state of energy policy around household solar as anarchy. These are pretty strong sentiments. Are you angry at the death of the NEG?
No, I don't think I'm angry. I think that the entire industry is recognizing the fact that we absolutely need a strong policy around making sure that the system remains reliable, and we have to have the right signals and the right obligations to get the investment in that we're going to need.
Okay, so what are those signals? The Energy Minister, Angus Taylor, said yesterday the government's determined to ensure there's enough fair dinkum generation in the system to keep it reliable. What do you understand he means by fair dinkum generation?
Well, that's an Australian term that I'm just beginning to understand. But I think everyone recognizes these sort of fundamental facts. We're certainly looking at a time in Australia that with the aging generation, particularly the coal generation that's been around since the 50s and 60s, those were going to retire and we're going to have to replace them. There's also, I think, universal recognition that when you run a power system, you need to make sure that the system operator, AEMO, has the ability to increase or decrease the amount of power that's being produced based on the actual demand. It's a real-time system, and we can't hope that the resources will be there. We have to have the resources there that we're going to need where we need to have them. Our integrated system plan makes that very clear. What's also very clear is that the technology costs are changing, and that we are seeing that with the rapid decreases in wind and solar costs moving forward, and this is what our integrated system plan identifies, as the coal retires, we would expect to see a portfolio of resources come in that are least cost, and that's going to be a combination of renewables, storage, both pumped hydro and other forms of storage, and gas. And it's those types of resources that, based on projected costs today, would deliver the lowest cost power to consumers, particularly with the increase in solar, rooftop solar, and the ability of AEMO to access those resources to make the whole system more productive, more reliable, more secure, and also meet our sustainability goals.
I'll come to rooftop solar, but would you describe that mix that you've just outlined there, renewables, storage, pumped hydro, and gas, as fair dinkum generation?
I would describe anything that produces power at the lowest possible cost to consumers, fair dinkum.
And is it your view that, as you say, as our current coal generation capacity is phased out because it reaches the end of its life, that we can be able to fill that gap with this mix you just described without loss of reliability and stability?
Yes, in our integrated system plan, what we do is we model it on an engineering basis. We model it based on maintaining the security and the reliability of the system and at the delivery point of the power. So let me just bring in the other point. We can't do that without new transmission investment as well. And so all of those pieces, but in our plan, what we identified is that if that's the way that we pursue it, based on current projections, that would become the least cost alternative.
And least cost is what's driving the government's policy direction at the moment. Let's talk about rooftop solar, because Kerry Schott, who we mentioned earlier, the chair of the Energy Security Board, spoke of anarchy in the electricity market. She was talking, in large part, I think, about the rapid uptake of rooftop solar. You told the summit yesterday 6.5 solar panels are being installed on roofs in Australia every minute. That has implications for price, because these are mostly subsidised and that shifts costs onto those who don't have solar. It also has implications for reliability of the grid, I guess. Should subsidies for household solar be phased out?
That's a policy decision for governments to make. What I think is very clear is that what's happening is that we're hitting tipping points with rooftop solar, both because of cost and simply because of familiarity of the technology. And we have to take that into account as we think about policies moving forward. To me, what's really important is that we at AEMO and through the market have the right systems in place so that we can actually use those resources, not just for the benefit of the individual consumer who puts them on the roof, but for everyone, because we make the system that much more efficient.
So how do we do that? I mean, are you worried about the implications, or what are the implications of Australian households in massive numbers taking, you know, putting in their own rooftop solar, effectively taking themselves off the grid through their own solar cells? How do you manage that? What does that do to the stability of the grid?
Well, it actually does hurt the stability of the grid. We've identified already in areas that we're worried about voltage, on managing the voltage of the system, particularly in the mid-afternoon, where there's very low demand. Certainly, and that's one of the concerns you heard yesterday, too, around the coal plants, is that if we have this increase in rooftop solar and we hollow out the day, the coal plants won't run enough, and they'll struggle economically. So we have to think about this as a system. One of the things that AEMO wants to do is work with the state governments that are putting in these programs and also are looking at storage, and make sure that there's the right incentives and requirements that individuals participate in the market. So, for example, what I would like to see is during the afternoons, when we have all this excess solar, we use it to charge up batteries. And then in the evening, when the sun sets, we use those batteries to discharge and then help manage the grid. So we need to think about everything and sort of in a totality, which is why in the integrated system plan, we look at it not just at one piece, one portion of the country, one aspect, but all of it, and say, how's this all going to fit together to drive the best value? And I would absolutely say that if people are making investment in rooftop solar, the best thing we could do for Australia is to make sure that those consumers are able to become, if what we call prosumers on the grid, through third parties, that they could participate and we get value out of those resources in a way that inures to the benefit of everybody.
Is it time to switch the subsidies to batteries and away from solar cells?
I think in a lot of countries, certainly in the U.S., there are true incentives around getting people in batteries, and they don't even have to be economic incentives. They could be the kind of programs that AEMO and ARENA have been looking at, which is we're just as happy when we need additional power in the grid because we see demand going up or another generator going down, to say we're happy to use the batteries and pay for that as if it's generation, because for us, we're just looking to keep the system in balance. And if it's cheaper to keep it in balance by using resources that sit behind the meter rather than resources that sit in front of the meter, that's the same value. The difference is when we access both, we can make the whole system more productive, more optimal, okay, and that drops costs.
Audrey Zibelman is the chief executive of AEMO. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 7:45. Audrey Zibelman, yes, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, this week called for a phasing out of coal by 2050 to avoid irreparable global warming. The Treasurer and the former Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg, was asked about this yesterday. Today.
Coal is an important part of the energy mix, where we need to be technology agnostic, where we need to have fossil fuels playing a key role, coal and gas, and we also need to have a growing role for renewables. If we were to take coal out of the system, the lights would go out on the east coast of Australia overnight. It provides more than 60% of our power.
Treasurer Josh Frydenberg yesterday. Now, of course, coal is a big part of our energy mix. The IPCC says we should be phasing out of coal by 2050 at the latest. If Australia phased out gradually from coal, as that IPCC timeline suggests, would the lights go out on the east coast of Australia?
If we have a transition, which is exactly what the Finkel Review identified, and I think we've all talked about, is a transition out from one resource mix to another, certainly we would keep the lights on. But it requires a plan, and it requires a plan that could be actionable, which is exactly what the ESB is working on right now to make sure we can get it there. Certainly what we would want, and this is exactly what the Integrated System Plan says, we should maintain the coal assets as long as they're economically viable. And we should have a plan to replace them with resources that are lowest cost.
So that fits in with that IPCC timetable effectively, doesn't it?
It would fit in with the IPCC timetable, but we would need a resource, again, a plan and ability to execute on that plan.
Just finally, one of your jobs at AEMO is to plan ahead for peak times like summer. This year's already been one of the hottest and driest on record. There's devastating droughts in Queensland and New South Wales. Will the lights stay on this summer?
Well, you know, last summer we were looking at the second hottest summer on record, and AEMO took a lot of action going into the summer to make sure that we had resources available. We're using that same program of work this summer to take a look at making sure that all the resources that are in the grid are maintained and ready to go for summer. And we're getting, again, as we did last year, terrific cooperation from the industry because we're all in this together.
And you're confident then?
We're confident because we're taking all the right actions. Certainly, any operator will tell you that, you know, on super hot days or even just because things happen, things break, and you might have an event. But what you need to do is make sure that you're prepared for the hottest weather days, you have sufficient resources, you've tested, you've trained, and you're ready to go. And that's exactly what AEMO's doing.
Audrey Zibelman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Audrey Zibelman, Chief Executive of AEMO and also a member of the Energy Security Board. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 11 minutes to 8.